She's the talk of the town. You wanna be around to hear what Marge will say. What's going on in our hometown? What's the buzz today? She's as sharp as can be. Marge wants to see Marion at its best. So tune in right here and give Marge a cheer. Marge Hazelnut. She's as sharp as can be. Marge wants to see Marion at its best. So tune in right here and give her a cheer. Marge Hazelnut.
And good morning, good morning, good morning. It's a Friday. Oh my goodness, Marge, it's Friday the 13th.
Oh, that's what my problem is.
It is.
It said yesterday that I was going to have bad luck, and man, I have had it.
It should mention this talk of the town, Marge Hazelnut. Nan Weir is still out on assignment, but she'll be back eventually, and we'll be glad to see her. Hope Nan's out there listening. Nan, hello, and we'll be glad when you can come back.
Yes, we will be very happy when you come back. People have asked about you, and I'm not making that up.
No, and when you come back, just take your time, and when you're able, we'll come back.
Right.
But until then, we're here on Friday the 13th, Marge. Triskaidekaphobia, that's the fear of this day. There's a fear of this day for people. I don't think it's really... I don't think it anything about this day really makes it scary, but it's just that's the fear. There is a fear of it's a phobia.
Triskaidekaphobia. I forgot all about it, but now I will be fearing it. I've been having bad days every day this week, so it's nothing new, but it's something to think about.
Well, it is, because a lot of people believe in good luck and bad luck and so on and so forth. I don't know if I was ever one. I mean, I think luck is luck. I do think you get lucky breaks in life, but I don't know about these phobias.
I don't think I have a phobia. I kid about it a lot. I'll just say if I didn't have bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all. That's about the truth. But, you know, you just kind of laugh about it, and you go about your business. And I don't know. I've had a good life. I've done a lot of things, and I've enjoyed them all, and I've never made any money on anything, but I'm happy anyway.
And we're having a good time.
Yes. And I have to report about my kitties.
Yes.
And I don't know what I did with my purse. Oh, it's probably hanging on... Yeah, here it is. But I have pictures of my kitties.
Oh,
yes, I have to show them
we'll
to you.
We'll have to show during the
right,
break there.
During our break, I'll have to show them to you because they are absolutely beautiful. Henri. But they don't get into, nobody gets into. But they're for company.
Yeah,
and
that's
they're
right.
fun. They're fun.
And cats, to me, I'm not a big pet person, but I do like cats better than dogs. Because dogs you have to let out, and
yes.
There is a chance of dogs biting people. You don't hear a lot of cat bitings.
No.
But I still am on this thing. If you have your dogs outside, they need to be on a leash.
Right. Well, you know, my niece has her cat on a leash now because he gets into fights with people. Not people, but with the other animals. But he's a beautiful animal. He plays hide-and-seek with them all the time. He loves to play it. My cats will also play that, too. The biggest problem that I have a balcony. They want to walk on the outside of the balcony on a little ledge that's hardly even there and walk on it and scare me. Now, I don't know. I hope they never fall. Be over 10 feet. So I don't know. But cats land on their feet anyway, I have been told, not worry about it. But it's a fun thing. My house has been taken over by my two cats. But they're beautiful, and I will have to show you the pictures before we go off the program, so you know what they look like.
I'll have to do that. We'll take a look here during the break. But it's it baffles me, and I know people are here sick of hearing me talk about it, but I walk every night. I walk a mile every night, and it's the same path I take every night, and dogs galore, and they're not on chains. You know, and the other night, the guy was even out there with his dog, and he was saying, calm down to the dog. He was saying, calm down, calm down, calm down. Well, I'm a stranger to that dog. And I just keep thinking that either I'm going to get bit or someday there's going to be a kid that's going to be out there because it's summertime and they're going to get bit.
Right.
And this guy's going to be in for a lawsuit. And I'm not a big lawsuit person, but if your dog bites somebody, I think you should be sued.
Yes.
I really do.
Well, you have to. Even a cat can bite. Now, I'm not saying they didn't, but she accidentally clawed me on the vein, which I don't have good veins anyway. But it's one of the things I don't like to have happen. First of all, it hurts, and it still hurts from last night. But they're only 8 months old plus, and it's like the doctor says, they're kitties. They're not cats yet. They're kitties. They're they just turned 9 months old. So they're adorable, but they don't mean to claw you. I go every 3 weeks and get them clawed, cut, but I'm going to have to go more often because I can't do it by myself.
Well, Marge's story last week when we were at the fair.
Yes.
You meet Thunderbolt Patterson,
right,
who was with us. And then this Tuesday, I think it was Tuesday, have to get my, because he didn't leave town until Wednesday. On Tuesday on this station, he announced that he is running as an independent write-in candidate for governor.
Ah, wow.
Now, a lot of people said, well, this is a joke, and I think people asked him if it was a joke. But you know what? In today's world, they called Donald Trump a joke. They called Jesse Ventura in Minnesota a joke. Cynthia Nixon, who was on Sex and the Cities, running for governor in New York, they called her a joke. They call Ronald Reagan, he was a movie. When he ran for governor of California, he was essentially a movie star. They called him a joke, and all these people took office. I am hesitant to call Thunderbolt Patterson a joke.
Oh, I would be too. He's a very knowledgeable person and very personable. I really enjoyed him.
Likes people. There's no flim-flam in him. If you ask him something, he'll give his opinion.
Right.
So, I would not handle it as a joke. Now, can he win? A write-in independent candidate is very difficult.
Right.
But I wouldn't count him out. I wouldn't call it a joke. And I certainly think if he gets in those debates that he's not tied to any money. He doesn't have to say anything.
No.
Nobody, to my knowledge, has given him any money.
Mm-mm.
So I said, hard to win, write in, independent. That might not happen. But the debates, traveling the state, he certainly could be a factor.
I'm sure he could be.
And I think it's also interesting because, people say, well, pro wrestler. Well, he also was a union organizer, worked for the unions in the 80s. He does stay up on current events. He does talk politics. He does have a stance on just about everything. So I don't like this when we say, well, you were a da-da-da-da-da, and that makes you a joke. Well, you know what? A lot of people make their money how they make their money.
Yes.
I don't think it makes you a joke.
No. I think it's a shame how people prejudge. They don't even know him.
Well, that's the thing. You know, he is a devout religious man. There's no doubt about that, and he'll tell you that. But he does have a stance on the football players kneeling. He does have a stance on Ohio's economy. He does have a stance on gun laws. He does have a stance on same-sex marriage. You know, it's not like he's totally in the blue here and this is the carnival. And right. People better understand. And he had a background. I mean, you got to understand, this man started in the wrestling business in 1965. Now, in 1965, there was segregation all over the South.
Oh, yes.
And as this man was traveling, you know, there were locker rooms he couldn't dress in because of the color of his skin. There were people who called him a word you can't say, the N-word.
Right.
There were people who gave him less money because of the color of his skin for the work he did. I mean, you got to understand, this man comes from a place of, I don't know. I guess what I want to say, this man comes from a place where he faced some serious adversity in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And to say a joke, well, joke might be on you. Is mm-hmm. what I think.
I think so, too. I think people prejudge, and I don't like that prejudging business. And I think you have to think before you talk. And that's what's happening in our country right now. People are out here just talking about, I don't know even half the time what they're talking about. You know, it's not even making, and I don't know.
Well, I was just trying to think here, because, yeah, here was his announcement. On this program, Marge, if you want to put the headset next to your ear there.
Okay.
This is Thunderbolt Patterson making his announcement this past Tuesday that he was going to run for governor of Ohio this coming November. This is what he said, and maybe we'll come back and talk about it.
Heaven high. I'm Thunderbolt Patterson, and I'm casting my hat into the arena to the write-in vote for governor of Ohio. Give me a chance. Call somebody and tell somebody. It's a whole new day. All the things that you know that's on the agenda that need some doping up, fixing up, education, the teachers, the firemen, the policemen. I mean, things that need places for kids to go. And all of the lying or the wrong things, just let us talk. Call somebody and let somebody know that I am running and I want to be your governor.
Marge, doesn't sound like a joke to me.
Doesn't sound like a joke to me. And he sure hit a nail on the head when he talked about education. I'm appalled.
Yeah.
I am appalled.
Well, education today, I'm not sure what is going on.
I'm not sure either. All I know is I had a grandfather that worked very hard, and you and I looked that up on the, I can't even think what we looked it up on anymore, in the
library.
Library.
We looked in library, yeah.
Yeah, and he did a lot, and it's just too bad we don't have more people like him, and we don't. I don't know if people are afraid of it or if they just don't care.
I don't know. I don't know where education has exactly gone in this state. I think there are very good educators out there.
Yes, I do,
but
too.
But I'm strung mm-hmm. by the system.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how that... When you were teaching, Marge, what was it different? Was the system a little easier to deal with?
I think it was. I don't know. We had a terrific leadership here in Marion when I arrived. We had Dr. Brown. And people can say what they want, but that man knew education. He was out there and fighting for all of us. And he was a very fair person. And I can tell you that when he hired me, I was a registered nurse. And I taught nursing. And I came here from Toledo. And I came from a good school of nursing. But I'll tell you, when I got here and they asked me to teach school, I about passed out. What did I know about teaching fourth grade? And what did I know about education as far as teaching? But I didn't just sit on my hands. Dr. Brown said, Marge, I want you to get into college, and I want you to make something out of yourself in that field of education. So where did I go? We had a fantastic university here. Hal had taught in it. That was my husband. And he had been in it since the very beginning of it. And so I went out here, and then I became an instructor, and I spent 51 years at Ohio State University of Marion, and I want somebody to beat me on that one because I don't think there is anyone that's going to beat me. I loved it. I loved the people. I loved the children. And I don't exaggerate this, Scott, but there isn't a week that goes by that I don't see someone that remembers me or Hal from education.
Well, and that's the mark of a good teacher.
I don't know that I was the best teacher, but I was certainly thought of okay.
Yeah, and that's important, and I think we need to think of our educators a little more important than we used to. By the way, the phone lines are open if you'd like to call in, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. What do you think of Thunderbolt Patterson running for governor? What do you think of our education system? Where do you think we're going? I think we're going to come to an impasse here in the city schools, because I don't know if the situation between the new superintendent and the school board and the teachers and the union have all been worked out yet.
I don't think so. And I don't really know that much about it, because it isn't like the Dr. Brown we had. And I don't mean to just give him all the glory. The man was, he had faults, but he was a wonderful person. He was fair. If you went to him, he didn't just brush you apart. Sit down. We'll have a talk. And that's the way he handled it. He heard your side, then he heard the other person's side, and then we all sat down together. And that's the way it should be. It shouldn't be just Scott Spears being talked with about Marge Hazlett, but it should be the both of us together at the end. Listen to my part, listen to his part. Dr. Brown would sit you down, and you talked as a threesome.
I think so, and I think that's an important part of society that we've lost.
Right.
You know, we talked a lot the other day, Sean and Terry were in here, about how in this life people get out of their lane. You know, people, if they just stayed in their lane and worried about themselves, there would be a lot less trouble in the world.
Right.
I don't know why people are so concerned with other people. I've seen this rash lately of people being police officers, where they're taking pictures of people doing things, where they're sending stuff in. You know, a little girl, the police was called on her because she was running a lemonade stand.
Oh, yes. Well, that's silly.
What stupid people. Stupid
people. We all had lemonade stands at some point in our life.
I mean, you know, but these people now, because they got a phone, they want to call the police. Well, I'll tell you what. The police officers are dealing with murders. They're dealing with drugs. They're putting themselves in the harm's way mm-hmm. every day. We don't care. You know, lemonade stands, somebody going door to door. We need to relax. I mean, good God. I mean, put yourself down. What is inside of you that you are so angry that you would worry about a stranger, essentially a stranger, doing something?
Well, I think we also ought to attend to terrible things that kids are doing. And I'm not going to mention it because I don't know how true the thing is. But somebody told me something that upset me all night. And I don't need that kind of an upset. But if it did happen the way they said happened, all I can say is somebody should do it to him. He would not live either. And why do a harmless little cat that's homeless? I just get so upset. And Scott knows me well enough to know that I take in anything as far as a cat's concerned. I just now adopted two adorable baby kittens, and I'll have him look at them at break time, and then we'll address it and see what his thoughts on them are. I could no more put those little boy and little girl out. They're just adorable. They're adorable. Now, they can be a handful. I'm not going to tell you they're not. They give me a run for my money. They truly do. And my house is beginning to look that way. And I don't like it because I don't want them to scratch my furniture. I don't want them to chew on my stuff. But I've got to be reminded by my wonderful, wonderful veterinarian, said Marge, they are only kittens. They're not cats. They're kittens. They're still little. You've got to tolerate some stuff. And I trust him totally. And I know they are. And the one, the little girl, I did not like her at all. She just was in, she's the leader of the pack. She does, and he follows whatever. But I'm going to tell you, if everybody would sit down and take a kitten in their hand and look that little guy in the, or girl in the eyes, you could learn a lot from them. You could learn a lot.
Well, and people, for some reason, I think people must feel, this has to come from low self-esteem. Either low self-esteem or highly, what they used to call a busybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something is wrong with these people who are calling the police on everybody, because why would, I don't even know what the projection is. Why are you doing it? What do you really want the people led away in cuffs? Do you really want to cause misery for other people? That's what I say. I think they must be miserable.
Well, all I can say is that people better watch their children on the streets, because I happen to be on a road that I know quite well. I never saw the child. If the woman sitting next to me hadn't yelled, I would have hit him. I didn't see him. It was kind of dusk out. The kid probably was maybe 2 years old on a tricycle, running that tricycle like a madman. I never saw him. And I tell you, if I ever hit that kid, I don't know what I'd do. I'd probably never live again. I couldn't take it.
Well, you know, I was trying to think back in my life, and I don't think I've ever called 911 because I don't think I've ever seen something heinous going on. Because to me, there are only a few things I'm ever going to call 911 about. If I'm having a medical problem, I think I would call 911. If I saw somebody getting beat up, I think I would call 911. And if I saw a traffic accident where it looked like people were hurt, I think I would call 911. But outside of that, if you're playing music too loud, or you are running a lemonade stand, or you're going door to door, or you call me a name, or you think I'm doing something, I'm not going to call the police on that, because I don't know. And I think there must be a misery in that person's life, because there must have been a trauma. Mm-hmm. Because don't they have enough to do on their own side with their own hands?
I don't know. It seems to me that everybody wants to know everybody's business. Well, I have people ask me things that is really none of their business.
Exactly.
And I look at them and I think, well, why are you asking me that question? What right do you have to try to figure out my life? I can't even figure it out myself, so don't try, folks. It's not worth it. There's not that much going on in my life. And I don't go out and hurt people. I don't go out and report people for things, and I could, because I'm telling you, I see some wild things out there.
Well, yeah, I mean, I see people breaking the law every day. There are people who jaywalk. There are people who wear clothes that they're not supposed to wear in certain places. But I consider that, you know what, they're taking it in their own hands. If the store or a police officer sees them, that's their business.
Right.
I don't need to be a police. I don't even carry a phone.
Well, I don't even carry a phone. That's so just unusual. I brought it today to show you the cat.
So I could not even videotape somebody, because I would not have the object to do that.
Right. I don't either.
So I don't understand it. To me, it's a very big problem that we're going to have to address as time goes on in life, because people have the cops called for everything. These people, these police officers, need to be attending to bigger and better things. They're working long shifts. They don't need to be called out for every Tom, Dick, and Harry who's got a little burr under their saddle. It's a silly thing. What do you think, audience? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. To me, it's all too strange.
Well, what do you think of people coming around and wanting to know if you want your driveway scrubbed? Yeah, I'd like to have my driveway scrubbed, but I'd get it scrubbed and the ducks will be right back up there tomorrow with the same mess that I had that day. So I said to the man, I'm sorry, but it's a never-ending thing with me with this duck population I have. I live on a beautiful pond. The ducks are gorgeous. Seven of them are there now. There were six of them, and one of them got killed when he was a baby. I watched. It was terrible. A big bird scooped down, picked him up, and ate him. But that's nature. My dad would say, Margaret, that's nature. Well, I don't care if it's nature or not. I felt bad. And the ducks, they were helpless. They were helpless. And I never thought I'd ever live to see something like that. But it happened. But you know what happened? We just have to try to keep working to make our life better and other people's lives better and quit prejudging people. I don't know that that man had a family that he needed money for. I'll work for little or nothing. Well, if you're going to work for little or nothing, that's not going to help you. It might help me, but I don't know what kind of job you're going to do. Well, furthermore, I have a yard man who is absolutely fantastic, and he does keep things cleaned up. So I'm not going to get him put out of work to put somebody else in I don't know, and even if he's telling the truth. But I don't know how people feel about that. Do you chastise them because they're trying to find work? I don't know. But it seems to me the paper has a lot of work in it that they could probably do.
Well, the interesting thing is, yesterday, and I have seen this a lot, I was driving through Walmart's parking lot on the way home yesterday, and there was a small RV, you know, a small camper, and they were parked in Walmart's parking lot, and they were holding up a sign, need gas money. Now, I've seen this now on two or three occasions, not the same people, mm-hmm. but people in that area, in that parking lot, with cardboard signs that need money. Well, I keep hearing the economy's doing so well, and I keep hearing that everything's going so well. Mm-hmm. I've never seen this in Marion, Ohio. What is going on?
Well, there could very well be legitimate, because we all could use cash money.
I guess.
But, you know, I don't know if they're really on the up and up, because you hear horror stories all the time about, well, they're out to take you, and if you give them a foot in, they'll be back every week after money. I don't know. But I felt bad about it, and I prayed about it last night, thinking, I hope the man found somebody that was willing to give him a chance and that he was able to, you know, get some work. But I don't know. I don't know if I'm beginning to get crotchety in my old age and say, no, I don't want to help these people because I never used to be that way. But you don't know what's going on in the world.
You don't. And I don't know. I mean, when somebody's holding up a piece of cardboard mm-hmm. saying, I need gas money, I need food, I need, you know, I have never seen this in Marion, Ohio in the last 30 years. Mm-hmm. What is happening? Because there are jobs, but are people having trouble living on them? What is going on? And are we a kind-hearted society? Do we stop and look at these people and say, mm-hmm. you know, too bad, so sad? It's a very complex thing. Could they go to a church and get gas money? I don't know. I don't know if you can do that. I don't know either.
I don't know how kind-hearted they are either. I don't know. All I know is I felt bad. And it bothers me when I turn somebody away, when I think, well, I guess you, I don't know what he would have charged. I didn't ask him because I didn't want to, you know, get him thinking I'm going to hire him. But I'm thinking to myself, Margaret, you had food in that house. You could have gone in there and you could have brought him out a sandwich from the refrigerator. You could have given him a Coke, or you could give him a cup of coffee. Well, you wouldn't have broke me up. But you start something and we're just like, keep going and going and going. And next thing you know, you're in big trouble. So I don't know. And being, you know, I don't know. I'm a kind-hearted person anyway. And I would have been happy to give him a sandwich, and I would have been happy to give him coffee. And I have containers I could have put it in and could have given it to him. But I don't know. I'd like to have some feedback, what other people feel, what they know about it.
Well, is there a church? Because I feel like maybe they aren't from Marion. Maybe these RVs are just passing through mm-hmm. and they have no guests. Is there a church where I can send them to? Is there a place I can send them where they could get a meal, where they could get gas money? Now, a lot of people will say, well, they're just doing that for cash. Well, okay, well, let the church sort that out.
Yeah.
You know, they can go in and talk to the pastor. They can go in and talk to the congregation or people who's in charge of this. Is there any place I can send these people? Because I'm starting to see them more and more and more. 740-383-9944. What do you think? 740-383-9944. Because if nothing else, I don't like to see this.
I don't either.
And everybody thinks it's a joke. You know,
it is not a joke.
You know, I keep hearing, oh, people are paid to do this. People are paid to be in these marches. Well, I don't know that.
I don't either.
Now, I see it written, but, you know, you can write anything nowadays. You can write, you know, this person does it. I don't know that it's true. Until I see somebody being paid to do something.
I felt very sorry for the man, I'll tell you the truth. I really, truly did. He looked clean enough. He looked like he talked, you know, halfway intelligent. And I'm a psychologist. I should be able to psych him out. But I'll tell you, I can't. I mean, it's just too many of them, too much of it going on.
Well, you know what? It's not like this country has not protested before. I mean, there were protests during Vietnam. There were protests during Watergate. There were protests right after the last election. There were protests during the McCarthy era. Why all of a sudden do we say, oh, these people are all paid? Well, now, wait a second. Now, why do we believe people just don't care anymore, that people wouldn't have the gumption on their own? Does that absolve us from the problem that people... I mean, I saw last week when they made the Supreme Court pick. No, Monday night. It was Monday night. Mm-hmm. They made the Supreme Court pick, and all these people were out on the steps of the Supreme Court, and they were protesting. Next day, all these people are paid. All these people are paid. Well, how do I know that? I don't know that they were paid to be there. Who's doing that? Who's paying them to be there?
I don't know. And I don't know who's talking about it and where they get their information. It's funny that you or I don't get some of this information.
Nobody's ever asked me to, paid me to go protest.
Nope, me
either.
I've
never protested, but nobody's... How do you do that? Do you just go door to door and say, here's some money, go out and protest?
I don't know. They don't come to my door and offer me anything.
That's what I don't even know how that would work.
I don't.
I mean, let's say you're a rich man and you want to cause a protest. Well, how do you get the money to the people? Do you go knock on doors? Do you hire people to knock on doors? It just sounds convoluted. All these people are paid.
Well, you certainly can't go ahead and pay them ahead of time. You know, say, well, I'll give you $20. Here's $20 to go protest tomorrow.
And people won't show up.
Yeah, I was going to say, they won't show up.
No. So I don't... People being paid? Where's the evidence of this?
I don't know.
Do you remember a few months ago during the school shooting, and they were all over that kid that he was an actor and he was being paid to say all these things? You know, my goodness. Is that where we are? Is that really where we are? Is that... You know... You can believe whatever you believe about gun rights. You can believe whatever you believe about the Supreme Court. That's your right, and that's fine. But don't make up things. Mm-hmm. Don't say, oh, paid. Mm-hmm. If you don't have the proof, you know, come on.
They better not say anything at all.
Yeah, just let them go. Let them protest. What are people afraid of?
I don't know. And I don't even know where we're going in this world. You know, terrible things that children do, all they do is wrap a little bit on their hand, and they can go right out and turn around and do the same thing over. And how many times do they get wrapped on the hand and said, poor little kid, you know, he comes from a bad home. Mom gets beat up every week by the dad. What crazy woman stays and lets a man beat him up? Let me tell you, there'd be fair play there. I would never let anybody beat me up like that.
You know, I think with the women, what I've always thought is that it is very hard, I think, to walk away from your life.
Right.
And that's essentially, I think, what the problem is. I think they could walk away from the beatings. I mean, I think that's who wants to be beat up. But I think the problem is once they're out of that situation, and then they figure... I'd have no home now. I have no home.
I deserve to be beat up.
I deserve to be beat up.
I didn't give him what he wanted.
He apologized. You know, our kids are there. I don't want to split up my family. There's a lot of stuff going on in the behind the curtain in those situations. And we've got to pay attention to that because it, you know, what does the woman do? Okay, the woman leaves. Okay, but where's she going to live? What if she doesn't have a job?
And she can't go back home because her parents are no longer there.
Yeah, and everybody thinks it's just mom and dad waiting at home to take the people in. Well, that's not real. That's not And if your parents live in a different state or a different city, you can't take the kids. You know, there's a convoluted process to all this. Mm-hmm. And where are you going to get the money to hire a lawyer?
Right. You know, I keep thinking about that whole thing. Like when I used to do counseling, and the woman would come in all black and blue and say, well, my husband beat me up, but I deserve it. Oh, I want to say, lady, get it together, because you don't, I don't care what you've done to him. He doesn't, and you don't deserve to be beaten up like that.
No.
I tell you right now, I would never put up with it. I'm not going to say that I would beat him up to make it even. I'd get out of there somehow and get away. And the next thing I do is get into education of some kind and find myself a somewhat paying job so that I wouldn't have this happening to me over and over and over, and watch my children suffer, because they suffer unduly.
Well, I think it happens. I think it's the immediate aftermath that scares them so bad. Mm-hmm. Because once you are out on your own, then again, it's where do I get my food? Where do I stay? Where do my kids stay? Is this person going to find me?
Right.
You know? I think that's the problem. I don't know that people want to get beat up. I'm sure, matter of fact, that they don't. But I think there's a tremendous fear of, what do I do after?
Mm-hmm.
If I don't go back, you know, is he going to come looking for me?
And they most generally do.
They do. And what do you do?
Go back, because what else can you do?
And it's a vicious
cycle. All I can say, folks, is get an education in something. I don't care what it is, but something that you can fall back on so that you can get out of that situation. Because there's nobody deserves to be beat up. I don't care who you are.
Well, and a lot of times I hear of the women, once they get this happening, they get beat up, they won't press charges because there's a fear that there's going to be backlash.
And were they going to get the money to hire a lawyer or anybody to help them, you know, help them along that way or show them the way?
It's a vicious circle.
Yes, it is.
It's a vicious circle. And it's a great thing that we do have an organization in Marion, like Turning Point.
Yes.
Where people can go, but how long can you stay? What can you do? It's tough.
Once you've done that, the husband could say, well, you'll just run back to Turning Point or whatever place it is and tell them a whole bunch of lies, because they think it's lies that you're making up when you go in there, and they're not. But I don't know. I've fortunately never had a situation like this. And so I guess unless you lived it once or twice, you shouldn't try to act like an authority on it. Because I never had that happen. Never had that happen. I said to my mother years and years before she died, you know, I never heard you and Dad fight. She said, oh, don't you remember when we'd say, go out to the shed and get something or go do this or that? And we'd go away and they knew we'd diddle-daddle around a little bit and then come back. But I never saw it. And I was appalled when people came into the emergency room when I was a nurse, be all beat up. I never saw that kind of stuff. I didn't even know it happened. I guess I had a pretty protected life.
Well, and it's... I don't know. I wonder sometimes if our society is really set up to help people.
I don't know.
Because we have this thing about pull yourself up by your bootstraps, mm-hmm. You know. It doesn't always work that way. Mm-hmm. It doesn't always mm-hmm. work that way. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you need help. Mm-hmm. You know, there are some things that I think in the grand scheme of things that we don't handle very well as a society. Like I say, these people who I see in the Walmart parking lot wanting money for gas,
mm-hmm.
can I send them to a church?
I'm sure there are people that can help them if they go to the right people. But certainly standing with a cardboard sign that you barely can read is not really going to help them. They've got to have some direction. They got to have somebody say, look, here's where you can go for some, you know, first aid for right now, but you're going to have to get involved in some kind of a program. And this is what I try to tell people. I'm not trying to sell programs to you. I want you to get into something that somebody can help guide you and lead you down the right path.
Well, there also is still a stigma, and maybe this ties back into the shootings, there's still a stigma on mental health.
Oh, yes.
You know, some people just are not balanced right.
Correct.
Has nothing to do about where you grew up or what's going on in life or can you handle your problems. There's just something going on in your mind that's not firing right.
Right.
You know, and I wonder, you know, if somebody has diabetes, you don't say, well, just pull yourself up and stop eating sugar. You know, if somebody has a heart attack, you don't say, well, just pull yourself up and stop eating fatty foods. No, we treat that seriously. Mm-hmm. We treat it as a medical condition. Mm-hmm. We give people medication so they won't die. But mental health, that's a whole different thing. We see that totally different.
Right.
We say, just, you know, chin up.
Right.
Chin up. Well, that, no. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work like that.
Well, I hear women, and I heard this in the past, where they would say, well, I have to put up with it. I have the children to worry about. I have to do what he tells me to do. I'm sorry. I'm a woman, and I would not put up with that. I would go, first of all, to somewhere to find out how I could get some help for him.
Well, until recent times, I don't know what women did
in
the 50s and 60s, because there were not even turning points.
No.
Where would you go? If you had no family, where would you go? If your husband was beating you up, how would you get out of that situation?
I don't know. And they don't know.
And they don't. And they didn't. And a lot
so
of them put
nobody
did,
up, so they put up with it year after year. And the guy, I don't know if they really liked doing it or if they thought it was the right thing. They more than likely saw it in their own family. I don't know. It's a difficult question to answer.
You know, and people are so, I've seen this, I have seen abusers, and abusers act totally different around their parents, their own family. They don't see that side of them, so it's even very hard for them to believe, oh, my son did that, because they don't see that side of
them. You must have done something to have him do that to you.
Yeah. Well, I think it's, the husband's family, the guy who did the beating, their family, that's their brother, that's their son. They never see that side of them. So they find it hard to believe that that person would even do that. But they do. You know, you
gotta
stop
know that they have a husband same as that son.
Right. And you know, you got to stop being a fool. You know, if you see, why would somebody make that up? You know, why would somebody say your son did this? You know, come on. I mean, it's time to get real. And the people, we who stand on the outside of it and say, well, we don't want to get involved.
Right.
Well, you know what? I'm tired of, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to get involved. Time to get involved. You know, we're worried about lemonade stands and this and that. You know, people, sometimes you got to get involved, even though it's not your situation, because these people don't know that there are people who want to help them. And it's got to stop.
Well, somewhere along the line, we've got to get the whole world, the whole society turned around, because it's not going the right direction.
No.
It's going the wrong direction, we're doing nothing to help it.
We are headed for a big apocalypse.
You're right.
And we're not going, people, oh, okay, blah, 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 blah. Well, okay, keep blah, blah, blah on. Keep believing those people are paid to protest. Keep believing that all this stuff is taken care of. It's not.
It's not.
It's not. And it's going to get worse until we make a change.
And then we have people who pretend they have stuff that they don't have. They drive a big car around that they owe a lot of money on, probably paying very minimal payments, or if paying at all. Who knows? And making you feel lesser. I don't feel lesser because I downsized my car. I chose to do that because I don't need a big car. I never did need a big car, and I didn't need to show off for any reason. And I think that's another thing. I don't care what you drive. I don't care what kind of house you live in. I don't care if you wear, I just saw the dress out at Elder Berman's. It's on sale. Trump's daughter's clothes.
Oh, yeah.
Now, do I want one of those dresses? Not particularly. But I could walk around with the label and go, I have on a Trump daughter's dress. That she didn't make that dress.
No, she didn't make that dress.
We just have the wrong ideas.
None of
we
these.
We have an interesting thing going here. Maybe you can help us.
Heard.
You heard?
Yeah. Oh, did you?
You were
what's,
there.
What's your thoughts?
In the interim. Charlie Evers has joined us.
I have no thought. It's such a nice day.
Well, you know, I but one of the things is, as I said before, I do think that we, I mean, I heard of a story at the fair. Two kids fighting, mm-hmm. beating each other senseless at the fair, and people just walking on by. Well, you know, I don't know.
Now, what did you do?
I wasn't there.
Oh, he just walked on by.
I would have no. I tell you what I would have done is I would have said I would have intervened because you've got to intervene at some point.
Right.
You got to let people know you care.
Right.
It sounds silly, but people are not self-assured in life. People are not. You think they think they can come home. You think they think, but they don't think that. You know, I have talked to so many people after a tragedy, and I say, well, why didn't you just call? Why didn't you say something? And they said, I thought you wouldn't care. Well,
I would.
I would care. I mean, my God, it's awful some of the things that go on. And we got to stop being this innocent bystander society. At some point, you know, society is a group of people. And we're going to have to start taking responsibility. It's not just, well, that group of people is, well, no, it's the whole thing, you know. I think that, remember, we used to be able to leave our doors unlocked.
Oh, my, I wouldn't leave a door unlocked.
Well, not now.
No,
because
I double-check everything.
Because enough people walked on by and said, well, not my problem, not my business. It's not your problem until it's your problem.
Yes, it is. That's
you know,
true.
One time, we'll end on this for this hour. A person said, you know, I didn't say anything when they attacked this group. I didn't say anything when they attacked this group. I didn't say anything when they attacked this group. And then they attacked me. You know, just remember that. You know, turn your head enough. They'll eventually get around to you. Mm-hmm. It'll eventually get around to you. And do you want people to help you? Mm-hmm. Again, right, wrong. There are areas of gray, but when somebody's knocking somebody's block off at the fair, everybody knows that's wrong. Why? I don't want to get involved.
Well, there should be more policemen, but they don't have them to put them on there. Or get somebody that could be policing the areas when they see stuff like that.
Well, they
that
had a lot
on.
Of policemen at the fair. They had even a police station.
What does the Bible say? There but for the grace of God go I. People should pay attention to that verse a little more often. We're going to take a break, come back with Charlie Evers, Marge Hazlett, and the Exchange Club in 10 minutes. To me, and I want to take the, I always thank you when we're done, but I want to thank you on the air for 10 years of being so kind to me.
Well, I've enjoyed every minute of it. You know, I say you're the best interviewer I